Hello, good evening. Are we on the time yet? Somebody give me the correct time.
14.
Just give me the nod, or you can't see you, but just give me a word when it's the time.
We'll clap Barov Stender at 15:15.
Okay, good, right. Not too hard, it might collapse. Right. I hope everyone can hear me.
Yes, thank you.
What's going on here, Daddy?
First of all, a few halachas before we start. With regards to this Friday night, tomorrow night, because we are davening, this man is with Plaga Mincha, only in the... We should daven on a Friday night. We daven Milcha, Kabbalah Shabbos, and Maariv, and come home, make Kiddush before Nach, and we eat our Shabbos Suda, and then hopefully, remember to say Kriya Shema after Nach. Or rather, perhaps the other alternative is to daven Milcha, Kabbalah Shabbos after Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos. Then one can wash, make Kiddush, wash, eat the Suda Shabbos, and then daven Maariv completely after Nach. Both opinions are correct. My own opinion is that since we're used to in the summer always doing it in this particular way of davening Maariv before Nacht anyway, therefore the likelihood is that we should follow the normal procedure that we do. So in Yitz Hashem, as soon as we're able, we'll carry on in that derech, davening as we normally do on a Friday night. And remember always to say Kriya Shema after Nacht. As far as Erev Pesach is concerned, the times for eating, finishing burning, etc., is printed out. As far as burning chometz is concerned, if one is unable to burn chometz because of the keeping in and staying out of sight or meeting with others, which is extremely important, therefore one can use it by disposing it. If one crumble what's left down the toilet is ideal. If not, then one should bleach it, put it in the dustbin, and preferably, since the dustbin doesn't belong to us, it belongs to the local council, put it outside in the street. If you have this old lady who feels that it's terrible to see all these dustbins here, she goes and pushes back in to your front garden again, you don't have to have a ding-dong with her in, out. Just leave it where it is. You've been yoitzer with bittle, especially when you're a battle of commas. It's nipsal me'achilas kelev, and it's not in your rishus. There's nothing more needs to be done about this. Also, remember to remove all chometz, especially in those areas where people might forget. If one's been going around with a hoover to suck up all the chometz in the house, and one forgets to empty the dustbin, the hoover bag, one's got a problem, because there you have more than a kazayas of chometz, actually, altogether. It might be nifted with all the dust, but nevertheless, preferably one should empty it out as well. This year, Erev Pesach, as we put on the timetable, as we mentioned already before, not to forget to do an Erev Tavshilim. If one has forgotten to do this, then the reliability to rely on the Rav depends on why the person forgot, and one should try and contact me. If you've been Pesher in the past, then you can't do it again. And the reason is very simple. According to one opinion, the reason for making a tashilin is to keep the mona yofa for Shabbos, not to eat all the good things on Yom Tov and leave nothing for Shabbos. So you keep the mona yofa, the nice piece of meat or fish, ready for Shabbos. Now, if everyone's going to come to the Rav, and the Rav's going to have to give away his mona yofa, so you don't mind doing it once, but if they come every Yom Tov to get the Rebbetzin's best fish or the best chulen, then by all means, the Rav will say, sorry mate, you're too late. Those who are prepared to do, as we have to do here in Kutzoyet, the 3-day preparation for Yom Tov, 2 days of Yom Tov, 1 for Shabbos. I used to possibly from previous times. Basically no difference. It might take a bit more activity to get everything ready, but not much more than that. Those who are here from Eretz Yisrael who managed to arrive, or Eretz Yisrael people who didn't manage to go back there, they should determine with their own Rav as to how they should be behaving on the second day of Yom Tov, which is Friday, what they should do different, how they should keep a Seder or not keep a Seder in the place where they're staying, and this depends on individual circumstances. Those people on the first night who follow Nusach Sfar and who say Hallel in Shul with a bracha, that is not dependent on the minyan, so therefore even if they're davening at home, the Mechaber Shulchan Aruch says they should also say Hallel with a bracha before they start the Seder after Nach. On the first day of Pesach, we have Tfilas Tal. Now, we haven't got any chazon in Shul to do this, so obviously we rely on every individual at home to be singing Tfilas Tal in the correct manner. But the difficulty here is to know exactly when one should stop saying Mashiv Hogu Achu Merit HaGosh according to Minik Ashkenaz. According to Minik Sfar, again, Avi, there would be the Gabber, or the President, or the Shamber, so everyone else who's in Shul, would start clapping before the Musaf Shtilah Shmoneh Esra to remind everyone to say Merit HaTol. Since Musaf Ashkenaz doesn't have this minhag to say Merit HaTol, therefore it's no use clapping, because what does the clap mean? And you can't say don't ask for rain, because we don't do such a thing. So therefore we have our piyutim of Tfilas Tal in the beginning of Chazar Hashat, and therefore we only stop saying Mashiv Ruach at Mincha. In Musaf Shtilah Shmoneh Esra we say Mashiv Ruach. So those of us who are davening Musaf Ashkenaz should certainly follow that and not say, and do say Mashiv Ruach in the Shmoneh Esra of Musaf, and then at Mincha one can say Moed HaTol. If you say Moed HaTol, if you don't say Moed HaTol, at least you're not saying Mashiv Ruach and Moed HaGoshen. So Mincha is where the changeover is, but we say the piyutim. This applies to any of the piyutim which one wants to say, one should say, that why not say them? You have plenty of time, we're not in such a rush anymore. One goes through the Kriyas HaTorah, and that's it. On Shabbos Chol HaMoed, which is Shabbos here, again, the minhag in our shul is to lay Shia Shirim from a cloth, from a parchment. We haven't got a parchment to lay from, but nevertheless, Shia Shirim should be said by everyone. Of course, no brocha and the like. And for those who unfortunately are saying Yiska, a reminder that on the last day of Pesach, one says Tfilas Yiska. In fact, one doesn't need a minyan for this, and one should say Tfilas Yiska even Yechidus. That covers some of the main halachas which Rav Shaya hasn't covered about the Seder, and which haven't been covered in various pamphlets and the like, and all the shaylas that have been asked for late this year, we had this week as well, covered a lot of halachas, and any left over, certainly the telephone lines are open, of Shaya, myself, and one can phone and ask, or text and ask, or do something different to make sure we get the right thing going. I felt, and I feel, that to give an in-depth share of Pilpul in Halacha, as I was going to do, with regards to Eretz Tashilin, might be a little bit out of place here, and therefore I decided rather we're going to hopefully some divrei chizuk to strengthen ourselves in, as many articles and speeches begin with the phrase which some other indicates that we are living in a choose the adjective, a difficult time, an interesting time, perilous time, dangerous times, and that is the Metzias, that is the reality. We are, all these adjectives describe the situation in which we find ourselves now, and perhaps one more one can add into there, because of the lock-up, or lockdown, or lockout, in a very lonely situation. People who are on their own, not with families, even couples on by themselves who are used to having a family around for Yom Tov, sitting with us, eating with us, visiting with us, and find themselves in this situation where they're on their own, can be a very daunting time. The seriousness of the situation which we find ourselves, we can't underestimate it at all. The Malach HaMoves, the Mashkis, is stalking our streets and our houses, and to find his designated targets. And once he identifies them, it's extremely difficult for anyone to escape from his clutches. Now, this type of situation, although it is slightly different than many others, but from the history of the beginning of the world, we've found ourselves in similar situations. We only have to look Parshas Noach, and the Mabul, where Kadosh Baruch Hu sent a flood to destroy the whole world except for one little Teva with Noach and his family. You've got Tar Bovel when others, we went through Sodom and Gomorrah, towns that were completely annihilated. And the Bnei Yaakov, who had to uproot themselves from Canaan and go and live in Golos in Egypt. And then also, throughout the history of the Jewish people, we know that the distress and the mental and physical difficulties which accompanies all these events is very clear to see. If we look at the Pesukim in Chumash, we see how difficult the Golos Mitzrayim was in real terms. If we look into the Gemaras, and we see a description of the people at the time of the Golos from Eretz Yisrael, after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, and read the Midrashim there, and the stories in the Gemara, of how poverty, hunger, famine were destroying the people from all sides. And the many, many numbers, thousands of people who lost their lives there as well are brought down. And when we draw nearer in our own history through the years, through the Dark Ages with the Crusades, where they wiped out town after town after town, thousands of Jewish people were killed. You only have to look at the killers on Tisha B'Av and read them carefully to see of the troubles that took place there. And perhaps even more difficult than nowadays, and the pogroms of the people who lived in Europe, right there through Russia, Europe, Central Europe, at various times, right there up to the previous century. And of course, the Holocaust, just only 70 years ago. And the stories that survivors and the Holocaust victims themselves have written down clearly give us a picture, a very solid picture, of troubles, of difficulties that people and their families had to go through, of starvation, of hunger, of death. And it's very, very difficult. And yet, we know quite clearly, Ki lo yitosh Hashem amo v'nachlod aleyadu, that Kadosh Baruch Hu does not forsake his nation. And as the Pesuk describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu with regards to Mitzrayim, he takes us out of the Koh HaBazel of Mitzrayim in order that we, Am Yisrael, should survive and rebuild out of all these darkness and all these ashes and the tragedies that we've been through. So the question must be asked, the fact that Am Yisrael is here today and have managed to survive all this, what is the key to survival? And how can we overcome the present day trials to strengthen ourselves and the tests which accompany us in our daily existence nowadays, in our time? We know that many have fallen to the Malach HaMoves. And although we don't like to say this, and this simply has happened and we keep on davening, but according to the norm, we follow the patterns. There could be many more still before the end of it all. And the restrictions on our lives and disruption of the trouble, will there be enough food, will there not be enough food? And having children at home who shouldn't be in school, and damaging of ours, we said before, living in isolation. And we've almost reached the stage, I'm sure certain people have, the Torah and Tzitzchok, Baboika Toma Miyit in Erev. In the morning we say, Halavai, it would be night already, but Erev Toma Miyit in Boika, Halavai, it was back to this morning again. And we look forward, perhaps tomorrow might be easier. Tomorrow the numbers that we hear depressingly on the news of how many people have succumbed to this virus, perhaps it will go down, it might have diminished a bit, and there might be a bit of light at the end of this dark tunnel. We find ourselves, families isolated from each other. Some who should be with us for Pesach locked in Eretz Yisrael, others locked in areas, other places, people who couldn't go, elderly people left on their own. And at Pesach, especially when we build up our Yom Tov on the Higata Levincha by Yom Ahu, speaking over the Haggadah with our children and our grandchildren, with family and with others. And we're prevented to do this. loneliness, hardship, and the very unfamiliar way that we have of tackling and dealing with the yontav on our own. The power of tefillah, the tzibur, tefillah with a minyan, is also closed from us. The power that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mayus, but tefillah sharam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does never reject the tefillahs of a great number of people, people in the minyan. And even that we can't do now. So how do we cope? And what do we do? I believe, I feel, that there's only one way in which we can do this. And this is emunah pshuta. Simple faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Simple emunah, which leads to bitachon, which I call absolute trust in that which the Ribbono Shel Olam does and in all his ways. It is essential to realize at the outset that the Navi tells us, Yeshaya, Zema Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ki loy machshavoysai machshavoseichem v'lo drochai darcheichem. We cannot appreciate, we cannot understand the drochim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ki loy machshavoysai machshavoseichem, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's machshavos, even the concept of machshava, are not our ways. We're on a different plane, we're in a different group, we're on a different website, it just doesn't go. We cannot understand. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and therefore our limited human mind was unable to fathom the reasons for the decrees of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the Gemara calls it, the Yeshaya Novi said to Chizkiyahu, "Bahadakavshim v'rachmano lanoch," and the secrets of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of his designation of what's going to happen, what will happen, what might happen, what should happen, it's not our business. It's beyond our comprehension, and therefore we have to leave it alone. But, and this is the big but, if we have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, who gave his Torah to us as our guide through life, is there, he HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there with his host to guide and support. No one is left out. Not any person, whether on their own, whether old, whether young. And if we have the faith to say every morning, "Ani ma'amin ve'emunah shleima," I believe with an absolute surety, "Sha'aboyre yisbar shemoy," that the Creator, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, may his name be blessed, "is osay ve'oysa ve'yase l'chon ha'masim," as hu levada, he HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is also has done, oysa is doing, ve'yase and will do l'chon ha'masim, everything that happens. From the smallest of the small, hitting one's finger with a hammer, rather than the nail one's trying to knock into the wall. That also is part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's direct intervention. To the greatest of all events, the creation of the world, the sun, the moon, the stars, and we see it, the heavenly hosts, and all that are there in the outside world, everything, from the trees in blossom, from the fruit that grows, from the animals that are walking, from the smallest creature, the little virus, comes also from him direct. And it goes to the ones he sends it to. If we can believe this, if we can accept, as the Mishnah tells us, "Kashem shemavachin al atoiv kach mavachin al ra," that not only the good tidings in life, but all the tragedies as well, can come from him directly, and then we can bear them with a security. Although we don't know the meaning, and we do not know why, but we must know and must appreciate that there is a meaning and there is a purpose to each and every event that takes place in our lives. This is emunah. This is the faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam. But the point is that emunah by itself is insufficient, because it's telling us in our minds. We haven't got it in our daily activities. It's too flimsy a base. It rests on a theory which is not necessarily firmly entrenched in our minds and in our actions, in our behavior. And therefore it can be easily toppled. Something can come along with a different idea and ideas will swing from one end to the other. There's no permanence to it. And therefore, what we have to do is to take this faith and belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they say that it's not only part of, but the actual underpinning of our daily existence. It's not just a theory in the mind, but it's a reality in our behavior and everything else that happens to us. That is to transform emunah, in theory, to be tochen in practice. That our daily life has to reflect this emunah completely. It's our way of life which needs to be put into our daily lives in everything we do that will make the emunah into bitachon, which then can't be moved. Somebody who actually puts that into his life is scattered, you say, Rabbeinu HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kindness will surround him. An absolute surety to the extent that every movement, every event in our lives is traced back, not to the forces of chance and happenstance, but rather that this is the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why it's happening, so that a tzaddik be'emunoso yichya, as the Novi says, that the tzaddik lives with his emunah, because the emunah is part of his bitachon now. That small and large health and sickness come directly from him to me, and it's personal for my spiritual growth. And as David HaMelech says, Gam ki eilech begeitz ha'mavet, even though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I have nothing to fear, because I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with me. If that is what we do, if we take that pasuk of David HaMelech and we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I've got nothing to fear about, I'm not scared because I know you are with me, and anything that happens to you, me, it comes directly from you. And only by constantly using every event in our life to enhance this lesson can it really become part of oneself. Only if a person actually feels that Hashem Nosam, that everything we have, everything we do, our lives completely from birth till the end, comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Nosam, all comes from him, then when he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, decides that it's time to take it away, then it's the same love and care as he had when he gave it to us. But if we don't appreciate Hashem Nosam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given it to us, then what right is he to take it away from us is a question which we ask. No one, therefore, is ever alone. No one is ever in a position of complete isolation. Where a Jewish person with belief and bitachon go, wherever he goes, wherever he is, there the Shekhinah is residing with him. And so, unfortunately, one has to sit possibly at the Seder by oneself. But I know that I do have company, that the Shekhinah is with me as well. And this, therefore, can become an opportunity, as all the troubles we're going through at the moment are, of strengthening one's bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Strange and sad, but it is, becomes manageable. The Yehuda Yoyin Rubenstein, my Mechutin, goes to perish with this insight of the Shah Bitochen of the Cholos HaVavos. I had a book which is highly recommended. I highly recommend it. And I opened it this afternoon when I was preparing what to say. And as you know, I take seriously the page that I open the book on, because that's where the Joshua's come from. And he brings down the story of the Gerer Rebbe, a very long story, but just one little facet of it I want to go over to you. The Gerer Rebbe, at the time, who himself had gone through the Holocaust and lost his mishpacha, was speaking to another survivor who had also lost everything. And the survivor was full of questions and doubts as to whether Bnei Shalom was actually there, and how could it all happen to him and to anyone else. And the Rebbe, in a discussion with him, pointed out to him the following. So when Moshe Rabbeinu came down Har Sinai, in Parshas Devarim, when he is repeating this event to Am Yisrael, he says there, as I came down the mountain, I saw the Egel Hazor that you made, and I threw the luchos from my hand, va'ashabrem le'einechem, and I smashed them in front of your eyes. And the Rebbe asked, what does it mean here, va'ashabrem, I broke them le'einechem before your eyes? Of course, you saw what happened. I don't have to mention the word le'einechem. And he never said, I'll tell you Pshat. Pshat is this. That when I broke the luchos, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I broke them le'einechem, in front of your eyes. your eyes alone. You saw the scattered and the shattered pieces of the luchos. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the luchos were still whole. The letters to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the luchos were still there. We see tragedy, we see breakage, he said. We've gone through a terrible tragedy of the destruction of 6 million Yidden. But by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is still complete. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, each of these neshamas is there. Each of these neshamas is whole. And that we had to see the shviras of Luchos, we had to see the shviras of Am Yisrael, that is our position. But we have to bear in mind that is only our view of it. It is an illusion in reality. Because in the real world of Ruchnis, the real world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Am Yisrael is complete. The opportunities that we have to use this situation in which we find ourselves in is one in which we can strengthen our amuna, strengthen our bitachon. The Chazal says, "B'nisan niglu, b'nisan asidin the girl." May it be that we should see the beginning of a new world. One Yisrael, B'vias Girl, Tzedek, and Hegemenu.